This is the Friday, July 13, 2012 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Elaine Cobb. Elaine, welcome back. We talked about weather a lot because that is the big story. How long can weather, because I mean, if the corn crop's dead in so many areas, how much longer can weather be a story?
Exactly. In my opinion, the corn market is no longer a weather market. You might as well be trading corn as if it's harvested because what's not there is not there. But the soybean market is obviously very, very much still a weather market. So I think if we see towards the end of July or August some, you know, forecasts for rain or actual rain events, we'll see some volatility in the soybean market, and we might see some spillover volatility in the corn market. But to my mind, that won't necessarily be justified. I mean, I think the corn's dead.
There's not enough widespread rains in the Corn Belt that would die off in the end of July or August that doesn't get rain. So is what you're trying to say. And it's been spotty. Soybeans, they need the rain. So if you're a producer that was looking at either a double crop coming off of wheat, or if you were somebody that was thinking, you know what, I should go with corn because, man, it's going to be really good, and you ended up planting soybeans, it's a pretty good decision right now.
Yes. And, you know, back in spring, I remember having these conversations with some farmers who were worried about the drought. And this was even in Minnesota because Minnesota had the drought over the winter, and they've sure turned around. But this concept of it's cheaper, right? It's if you're worried about your production prospects going into a year, it's cheaper to put in soybeans. And then if they go to $16, $17, I mean, who knows where they're going, you know, then that really pays off. And I think that the market signs were there to some degree. Obviously, the market was trying to buy soybean acres, but the insurance levels didn't necessarily buy soybean acres. But the market was there because we knew about the South American drought. So there were probably some people that are taking advantage of that. Agreed.
We talk about puts and calls and trades and all sorts of things. I didn't put you on the spot during the program. Is it time to put any puts on any either of the markets, or is it too late?
Not in my opinion. I don't think that I would be spending very much premium money and have a bunch of time value expire on puts when, frankly, to my mind, you know, this is a real problem. This is a real supply and demand problem. Stocks to use ratio is less than 10%. Unless you had something go wrong in the broader economy and we had the dollar start going up higher, or another recession, or China really doesn't stimulate their unemployment more, unless something like that happens, I think these prices are, there's going to be good prices available for farmers that they don't necessarily go put a bunch of money into puts right now. But should they be selling? Could they just sell as a hedge to arrive with their elevator or anything like that? Sure. I mean, I think that these are wonderful prices to sell at.
All right. One of our friends up at Siouxland at the co-op up there in Sioux Center, they want to know, will December futures test $8 if there's no rain event before August 1st? And could it break that $8 mark?
Well, here's the thing. You kind of wonder where the rationing price level is. It's not an infinite price level because at some point people will stop buying corn. So is $8 that level? Not if crude oil can go higher or gasoline can go higher, then ethanol could probably still make money at $8 corn. Not if the live cattle market can increase, then maybe some livestock feeders or the hog market or the poultry market even could increase, then maybe some livestock feeders could afford $8 corn. So it's sort of predicated on a lot of outside factors. So I think it's an absolute possibility, and I don't know where the price rationing level would be because you don't know what these other things are going to do.
Louise in Lindsberg, Kansas, she wants to know, when's that market going to peak? We talked a little bit about corn breaking. When does the soybean, when do the other things peak?
The timing of it is probably, to me, a more predictable question than the price. Where the actual price will peak out, I don't know. But the timing of it, like I said, for the old crop market, it certainly feels like the timing of that will have to be in the next couple of weeks before new crop harvest comes online, in my opinion. But for the new crop market, I think we've got the entire month of August where we're going to be discovering more and more about how much soybeans have suffered these past months and how much they still could suffer in August, and they could keep the market going. So I would say late August is where I would be looking for the actual weather market to come to an end.
Tim in Crookston, Minnesota had asked where wheat and corn and beans. Tim, that's always a good question. That's one we kind of covered a couple of times. Our friend Phil in Canada is always asking. By the way, these are the questions that come to us via Twitter.
Yeah.
You're on Twitter, and you see questions come to you, so she cheats a little bit. She knows what's coming in advance. Give us a shout out at Market to Market. We're out there. Phil was talking about walking in 1988. It's something that was alluded to in that piece.
Yeah.
When I was down in Kansas, that's what they were talking about this week.
Yeah.
Was that 88, it's all comparison. But 2011 was extremely dry for them. They're in a two-year cycle.
Yeah.
There's plenty of places in that two-year cycle. So where does that 2012 compare to, say, 2011 in some spots or 88?
I think the 88 is the much better comparison. And what's interesting is I remember in February I was at a farm show with Mark Pearson, and farmers were talking about that too, because there was the dry winter, and they said that was the exact same thing in 1988. I don't remember 1988 very, very well, but I remember it. I remember the dust storms, and I think that's exactly what we're looking at. We're very fortunate we have no-till agriculture that's not creating these dust storms as much this year, but that's absolutely the comparison to make because it is so widespread, and because of where it's happening and because of the actual, the yield drops are going to be much more severe than in 2011, in my opinion.
Well, and that was one thing that our friends at Kansas State Extension were talking about. Craig Rosenboom was saying, he goes, you know, the corn is different. The varieties have changed. We make changes in our planting position in terms of how wide of a stand or, you know, how we've made some adjustments. We've learned from 1980. I remember 88 quite well. I was talking to my father this morning. This is his 50th crop in Buchanan County, Iowa, and he is saying, I'm finally going to have one like my grandfather did in South Dakota. And one out of 50 is not so bad, but there's some people who are dealing with that year after year. But you just wonder, is a drought year something that can weed people out?
Well, I understand in most of the Western Corn Belt, certainly a lot of people are going to have crop insurance, but there are people who did not buy crop insurance. These people exist. And so, and if they are not very cash rich, they could really be having some problems. I think that that's a real problem. I think that, that this is not the 80s. My understanding from the ag banking sector, and I'm not an expert in this, but my understanding is that farmers in general aren't as leveraged now as they were in the 1980s. So hopefully this is not going to be a big industry problem.
Chris in Raleigh, Iowa, also close to that Buchanan County region. He wants to know, when should we begin our 2013 or even 14 corn sales if we see that demand destruction?
Well, so 2013 December corn is above $6. 2013 November beans are above $13. So those are profitable levels. And so there's nothing wrong with locking in some profitable levels on a portion of these 2013 crops as a risk management standpoint. But from my standpoint, I would wait until we see this market peak out. And because, I mean, really, that's what's dragging 2013 up. There's no particular reason for us to be bullish on 2013 crops with the technology we have available. We could have a huge crop in 2013. So you just wait to let the current markets keep dragging those up, and if you see those top out and you feel like selling 2012, I would sell 2013, a chunk of it, at the same time.
I want to ask Jared in Seldom Rest, Oklahoma. He brings up a point that if... are we going to see the opposite of this, where we go to that $2 to $3 mark on some of these crops? Are we going to look back on the 2012 and say, man, those were the absolute good days?
Well, I mean, price-wise, these very well could be the good days of price-wise. But $2 or $3, no. I think we've got a real demand-driven curve in the prices. And I think that, you know, there's some fundamental reasons why farmers won't want to accept less than $5, let's say, going into any future year. Their production costs are higher. They have more storage and they can keep the grain off the market. So I'm not looking to see $2 or $3 come back, but I certainly am within the next 5 years expecting to see some very large crops and some very bearish levels of price levels that are going to be challenging to people. But, you know, we talked about cotton.
Yeah, one final thing. It's our final question. This is talking about cotton. Fill me in a little bit on that.
Well, this plays to this point of, could we see $2 or $3 corn again? You know, cotton a couple years ago made it $2, and now it's at 70 cents. You know, it really fell back because the high prices destroyed demand, and that demand never came back. And so now that market's flat and doesn't have a lot of bullish potential because, the you know, the fabric producers just went to polyester and they just haven't come back to cotton. So does that happen to the corn and soybean markets if we destroy demand, if our customers and our customers' customers are suffering? I don't think that they're really good parallel comparisons, because cotton has so many other substitutes that, you know, that's fine. But corn and soybeans, there's not a lot of really good substitutes, particularly in the poultry sector, hog sector. You've got to be feeding ground corn and soybean meal. What else are you going to do? So.
Okay.
I think that the demand isn't going to be completely destroyed.
Elaine Cobb, thank you so much for this discussion. Appreciate it. Good to have you here. That's going to do it for this Market Plus. I want to thank all of you who have contributed questions on Twitter at Market to Market or on our Facebook page. Always glad to have the discussion. Next week in this seat, Mike Pearson. Check out the website to see the video that's welcoming him to this program. Mike starts next week on Market to Market. Thank you so very much from all of us here. Have a good week.